think a lot of photographers use their photos as an exhibit in an argument. A good example is when you see photos of things and you see these long, lengthy captions about where the photo was taken, who this person is, what they have to say about X, Y, or Z. And that type of work is really great. But what I really like is the work that stands alone as a photo that tells a complete story. Whether or not the story is complex or benefits from context or could be more interesting, maybe with a little bit of text, I'm interested in the image as a complete story.
Bemidji native Nick Nerburn has been communicating through film, imagery, and journalism since he was a kid. His adventurous spirit, compassion for humanity, and seemingly unending curiosity about the world in which he lives has inspired adventures that include riding his bicycle from Bemidji, Minnesota to Olympia, Washington, a fountain of journalistic endeavors, including articles, opinion pieces, and photojournalism, and original documentary films, including these titles, 13 Roads in Otter Tail County, In the Shadow of Paul Bunyan, and Today I'm Going to Kill Myself, But First I'm Going to Dance, which is a film focusing on the Fergus Falls, Minnesota State Hospital. Nick recently traveled to D.C. on assignment for Scalawag magazine, documenting the presidential inauguration. I caught up with him recently to talk about that experience and his current projects in Macon, Georgia.
I have a visual approach, and the work that really resonates with me is visual. I also read a lot. Nonfiction journalism is sort of what I spend most of my time reading. I rarely read fiction. I'm interested in the real world just because there's often enough for me here without having to imagine something else. And so I guess I'm very interested in place and memory, and there's a poetry in images that I find very appealing.
Well, let's talk about the inauguration. Why did you want to go?
I had gone to two political conventions before this. I was at the Democratic National Convention in 2004 in Boston and the Republican National Convention in 2008 in St. Paul. And so I had a little experience at these types of events. And the reason I wanted to go was because, number one, it was a very contested event. Many people were there in a very excited way, and people were there in a very angry and frustrated way. So that's interesting to me as an artist. But also because I knew it was going to be so well documented that I could go and not worry about getting the shot. There's going to be someone at the top of the Washington Monument taking a photo of the crowds on the National Mall, and that's going to happen. And I don't have to worry about getting those shots. So despite the fact that it was very over-documented and there were too many people making media there, in my opinion, in a way it's also liberating because I know I can make the weird images that I want to make and no one asks me, well, why didn't you take a photo of the protest crowd? Mm-hmm. Someone else was already going to take that photo. So that's what was attractive to me about going there.
Were people bothered by cameras in their faces, or were they used to it because there were so many people taking pictures?
Most people were used to having their photo taken. I shoot with a very small camera, and so I actually am not as intrusive as someone else. The sort of image of a photojournalist with these two or three big heavy cameras hanging off of them. I shoot with a very small little, almost a point-and-shoot, and a little flash. And so I was not actually the most noticeable photographer. And at most events, the ratio of photographers and journalists to actual people was maybe there was one journalist for every four actual attendees, whether at a protest or the inauguration itself. And these days, everyone is a journalist in a way. I mean, the fact is, at the inauguration, if you look at some of my photos, you can see all the phones. I mean, everyone has their phone out. And all I had to do was turn around and look, and there was a sea of people taking photos with their cameras or with their phones, and there's no way to know who is a professional and who is not, or who considers himself a journalist and who doesn't. And so in that way, taking photos was extremely easy. And the mood on the ground was, it was fractured. There was not as much sort of confrontation as I expected. I kind of was a little worried about fights breaking out and I would say that the leftists were more confrontational, verbally and physically. I found that the Trump supporters, while they may have said some crude things or postured in a way that might have seemed aggressive, the actual, you know, the sort of what you might call confrontations on the ground were, it was the leftists who were initiating them.
What happens with these images that you take?
They're being published in a magazine called Scalaway. They are a literary and political magazine that deal with Southern issues. And then I pitch to a lot of different publications.
Well, what's next for you?
I'm working on this project down in Macon that's sort of a portrait of a community down there on the east side of town. And that's a documentary film, but photography is very much a part of that whole project also. I've been hanging out at a corner store in East Macon and taking portraits of kids. And so I go there between 3 and 6 p.m. when people are getting off school, and I hang out there with a 4x5 view camera, so like a big old press camera, you know, the kind that shot Jack Ruby, and do portraits. And I shoot them on instant film, and they come right out, and I give the photo to the person, and I take the negative home. And this is sort of part of this film that I'm making, which is a portrait of this side of town. And the photos are going to feature prominently in that. So it's sort of a way to develop the still and the moving images together. They both help each other.
Are they pretty receptive to you and happy to have their picture taken?
It took a while. I'm the only white guy. It's an entirely black neighborhood. And so most people thought I was a cop. First off, which is a reasonable thing to think. You know, it's very suspicious when there's a young white guy walking around, lurking around with a camera, asking to take your picture. And black people, especially here in Georgia, have plenty of reason to be afraid of it. But the second I told people I was an artist, people were so excited. For some reason, it's the art that makes people excited. And, you know, the kids are the ones who want to trust you. Once I started taking pictures of kids, they started taking the photos back home and showing their parents, and then I might see someone later on who says, oh, I know you. You took my kid's picture.
Oh, my gosh.
And then they pose for their own picture. And so in that sense, it really is, this is something teachers really know. You can't change adults, but you really can affect kids. And so I find that it's the young people who are really excited about it, and then the old people realize that it's okay and that this can be fun, and then that gets them into it.
Art is the connective tissue between cultures. It's what will take us to the other side, and people will walk an art path towards each other for communication. This is a common thread that I'm seeing in interviews that I do.
I've heard people compare it to water. It flows down the easiest path. There are these big immovable things around us that seem impossible to change or push one way or the other, but art just finds that path. So yeah. I agree.
That's filmmaker and photojournalist Nick Nerburn. Born and raised in Bemidji, Minnesota, he's taking the road less traveled in life and leaving crumbs of understanding and positivity along his path. I'm Katie Carter. You're listening to Area Voices on Northern Community Radio.
Until then, one afternoon, I dressed myself alone.
Check out our website, kexe.org, for links to Nick's work, website, and social media connections. Area Voices, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota.